Welcome to Nature Now, an original production by KPTZ volunteers. Nature Now is a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners. Care of Nature Now at kptz.org.
Hello and welcome to Nature Now. I am your host, Jackie Canterbury. Today's show is a continuation of the interview with Dr. Brenda Johnson, the leader of the East Jefferson Pigeon Guillemot Breeding Survey. Brenda will answer a few questions today about the community science project, and then we will travel to the beach, where the surveys take place to interview the volunteers. Remember, the pigeon guillemot is a vibrant seabird that nests along our coastline. Guillemots breed and forage close to our shore in summer, so we can actually see them during the breeding season. Brenda, welcome to Nature Now. I have a few questions about being a volunteer and the training involved. Could you speak to those issues?
Thank you for inviting me today, Jackie. I appreciate it. The Salish Sea Guillemot Network is a community science project that's evolved over the last 20 years, having started at the grassroots level. It would not exist today without the involvement and support of hundreds of dedicated volunteers who do the actual monitoring of pigeon guillemots during the breeding season every summer. Anyone can apply to be a volunteer with us, and we always need volunteers. Prior birdwatching experience is very helpful, but not required. But if you love beaches and birds and have your own binoculars, you're a good candidate for this, and we will train you.
Great. And what does the training involve?
The training involves both virtual and actual exposure to the nesting sites and the survey protocols before the breeding season begins. The Salish Sea Guillemot Network has actually created a really neat collection of videos that clarify most aspects of being a volunteer. So if you are even mildly interested in doing this, I recommend that you go to the website that I'm going to give you in a moment and read and watch everything there. There's a plethora of information that's all in one place there. The website is pigeonguillemot.org, and it is spelled PIGEONGUILLEMOT. That's one word, .org. Each volunteer is asked to observe guillemots with their binoculars as part of a team at a local colony for one morning hour per week throughout the breeding season, which runs from June through August in most years. Last year, we thought we had a fluke in that the breeding season at some of our colonies really went into September. That was a big surprise. But most years it's through the month of August. Some of our colonies are larger than others, and at those large colonies, we divide the colony up into segments. And we might have 4 to 5 observers spread out at our largest colonies in order to, for each observer to have a clear view of the cliff face and to be able to see all of the guillemots that are present that morning. The surveys are always completed by 9 a.m., with most conducted between the hours of 7 and 8 on the same day each week. So these surveys are highly standardized, and we focus on recording the number of guillemots that are present, on the breeding and foraging behavior of the birds, and on causes of disturbance to the colony.
And what is the favorite part of being a volunteer? I've spoken to several of the people that do help with the project, and they're just passionate about these birds, and it seems like they have such a good time, and being involved with one another, it sort of forms a community. So can you speak to that?
Oh, it does form a community for sure. We encourage the beach monitors, as we call the volunteers, to become driftwood. And that's a lot harder than it sounds. That means they have to do a mental shift when they get to their observation point and begin to breathe more slowly and really still their bodies and minds. And that's one of my favorite activities, to observe the guillemots without influencing their behavior and to learn new things about them each time I go out. It's really an exercise in mindfulness that goes beyond just watching the birds. We're exposed to the weather that they are, the tidal cycle, the currents, the rack that just washed up on the beach, and we're exposed to many intimate details of their lives. Getting to know them fosters an incredible appreciation for their otherness, which I think a lot of the volunteers pick up on too. Guillemots are completely at ease in the water. There's a certain urgency during the breeding season for them to get it done. And they are social, somewhat gregarious in nature during the breeding season, and they are super tenacious to their breeding sites. There's high site fidelity and high mate fidelity. So all of us who get to know them do fall in love with them. We're in awe and humbled by them at the same time.
So two things that you said. One is site fidelity. They come back to the same burrow every year.
They do come back to their natal site, the site where they hatched. And we don't have any radio tag birds here in East Jefferson right now at our colonies, but that has proven to be the case at other colonies where the birds were radio tagged during the breeding season and followed year after year after year. They tend to come back and supplant their parents when they can, but the guillemots don't breed until they're 4 to 5 years old. So there's a large population of what we call floaters who look like adults but are not yet mature enough to breed. So they are also present at these colonies that we're monitoring.
Thank you, Brenda. Very impressive. And to end this interview specifically with you, any final thoughts?
Well, it has struck me that having such a long-term standardized data collection protocol is really the key to making this project work. I like the fact that we're part of a growing community of shore stewards, basically, who are scientifically collecting data that can be applied to conservation of a species across the entire Salish Sea. That's pretty rare. This really ties our regions together ecologically as well as socially, because you're right, that this effort does create a lot of community among the volunteers. And it's wonderful for me to see awareness of and concern for this bird growing in East Jefferson. So I would encourage listeners, if you go to that website and find that you are seriously interested in volunteering for our project, look at the About Us tab or page, and you'll find my email address there at the bottom. You can email me directly and put Pigeon Guillemot Surveys in the subject line, and I will reply to you as soon as I see your email.
Thank you, Brenda, very much. And now we can walk to the survey site and talk with the volunteers. Again, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jackie. It's been fun.
It has been fun. For any of you who may be just turning in, this is Jackie Canterbury with KPTZ's Nature Now program. I have been talking with Dr. Brenda Johnson, leader of the East Jefferson Pigeon Guillemot Breeding Survey, and now I am with the survey crew at the beach. The water today is calm and the cliff burrows are scattered along the shoreline. You need a trained eye to see the guillemots to do this work. The beach is full of life and sounds of the sea. You can even hear the guillemots in the background if you listen carefully. We all feel very lucky. My special guest today is Karen Ertl, one of the volunteers for the Guillemot Project. Karen, welcome to Nature Now. I want to start today by thanking you for your work and asking you questions about the birds and the surveys. First, let's begin with, why do you volunteer?
Thank you, Jackie. Well, there's several reasons why I volunteer. One is that I've always been a birder, and this is such a great opportunity to be close, very close and in person with these guillemots out here on the beach. This is my happy place, you know?
I understand.
And I've retired recently, and I can't think of a better thing I'd rather be doing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And the second question is,
you know, I want you to give us a portrait of the pigeon guillemots, and I'd like you to use 5 adjectives to describe these birds.
All right. Well, we also have a lot of eagles out on the beach here, and when you think of eagles, people always use the words, you know, regal, majestic, serious. I feel like the guillemots are like the opposite of that. They're just kind of goofy. They're so much fun to watch and a little bit clumsy to boot. They are just full of playful activity. They have these big red feet. I mean, those alone crack me up, you know. And they, when they're getting ready to land on the water, they put them out in front of them. And often, you know, instead of a nice gentle glide into the water, they do this big splash. You know, they make their presence known. It's pretty funny. I've also seen them, you know, while those big red feet suit them very well for their underwater forays and for swimming and whatnot, sometimes they're not quite as effective as they're trying to, you know, navigate these sheer vertical cliffs. You know, I've seen them approach a cliff and just kind of hit the wall, bounce back, or they'll like flutter back down a ways and then have to use these big feet to try to claw their way back up to burrows. Sometimes roots are in the way of them getting in, and they try over and over to get in, and it's like you're just sitting here going, oh, please, please just make it. But, you know, sometimes they abandon burrows, too, and I think one I had last year, they abandoned for that very reason. They just had a really hard time getting in there. But back to my adjectives, I would also say they're very playful. They have what people often refer to these water games that they do, and I've been very lucky this week where I had a group of guillemots right in front of me who were doing these behaviors I had never seen before, such as it was just 2 guillemots and each one was hopping over the other, and I, in my notes, I put leapfrog. You know, it's exactly what it looked like. And then also, they would both fly up just inches over the water and then just plop down into the water, making a big splash simultaneously. It was almost like they were playing, you know, who can do the biggest splash, you know? And then the other descriptor I could find to use in my notes was they were like body surfing simultaneously too, just on top of the water, like just body surfing. It was really interesting.
Very interesting. And also what we saw when we walked in, so it was pretty incredible where the birds were essentially all clustered on the beach. I'd never seen that before. Can you also then provide some interesting portraits of their behavior?
Yes. You know, they tend to be very communal. You know, it's not very often that you see guillemots hanging out by themselves. And if they are, they quickly join some kind of group, you know, on the water, whether it's on shore, like we saw here under that log. They really do prefer to hang out with each other.
Interesting. And would you say that communal behavior, is that relatives? Or do they just come together from their northern reaches in the wintertime, come down to the Salish Sea, and then recognize one another and become a community?
Those are all really great questions, and I wish I knew the answers to that. They do seem to have some kind of affiliation. Like, there's a group that tend to hang out on the south end of the beach, and I'm assuming they're the same ones, you know, every survey. And then there's another group that tends to hang out on the north end, you know. Now, they will intermix and intermingle with each other, but I suspect that the sub-adults are here, too. They don't reproduce until they're 3 or 4 years old, and I believe that they're here hanging out with the breeding adults and perhaps hanging out with their, you know, parents.
And when you talk about breeding adults, so for the viewers, if I turn around, so, you know, I'm looking at the beach now, and there's about 10 guillemots in the water. And then if I turn to my left, we have these tall cliffs. And so could you tell the viewers, describe a nest site for us?
Sure. On this particular bluff, or on this beach, there's multiple bluffs, but you can see bluffs way at the top of the bluff where the vegetation is kind of hanging over, and there's a root system, and they find these nice holes under there. And conversely, there's also a couple burrows that are just in the middle of the bluff, wide open, these nice big holes. And then we've actually had quite a few burrows that are actually just 3 or 4 feet above the ground, you know. So it's at any height of these burrows. And interestingly, people often ask, you know, do they bring material in there, like to build a little nest? And they don't. They just use the burrow itself. Sometimes they might scratch out a little dirt, some spring cleaning if they need to, but they just use these burrows as they are. Now, we saw a couple guillemots go into a burrow, but there's also other guillemots then, and we see this often, that sit outside of an active burrow on a ledge, and they're just hanging out. You know, sometimes we call those party ledges. And yeah. I'm assuming maybe those are the subadults just hanging out while their parents are in the burrow. That's just a theory. So we see that a lot, though. They find these little ledges to very close to the burrow.
And so as I'm looking right now back up into the ledge, do you want to describe to the viewers what we see? Because
wow.
This is common in your survey. So get your binoculars up. And essentially, what we've got is a burrow. And we have two birds that are sitting just on the edge of the burrow. And, of course, they're calling like they always do.
Right.
Now, is that typical?
Yes and no. So now they're going back in.
Good.
Most often when they go in, we don't see them until they come shooting out as if a cannon, you know, blew them
sure.
out. It's so fast. So having them come out and peek at us is kind of a pleasant surprise. It's not, you know, unheard of, but here you go. Always full of surprises.
They're always full of surprises. And so when you do your surveys, do you count the colonies and count the number of birds and then count the provisioning? Is that correct?
That's correct. Definitely count all the birds. And funny, you know, sometimes further out in the water here, it's hard to tell with the lighting sometimes. There might be a string of like a dozen blackish birds hanging out there, and you're thinking, is that a guillemot or, you know, rhinoceros auklets? But as soon as I see one guillemot fly over, or one bird fly over and make that big splash, I'm like, oh, yeah, guillemots.
Okay, all right, and they're flying over right now, so it's beautiful.
Active.
We have about three birds flying into the nest at the top, and then we have two in the burrow at the left, and then we have quite a few guillemots in the water, so we're surrounded by them. And, you know, that leads me to this. Early in the morning, what are the challenges you face doing a morning survey?
Well, one of the challenges we have in this location has to do with the concentration of bald eagles we have here. It's a very healthy population of eagles, both adults and immature eagles. And I believe they have a few nests over on the other side of the water, but they love this beach. They often fly over the water here on the beach. On a weekly basis, they are landing on trees right above our burrows, and the guillemots, well, I say it breaks up their party. They really get quiet. They hunker down if they see that eagle activity. So that's a challenge. Another one of our challenges, actually, is knowing which one of these holes in the cliff are nests as opposed to just burrows. For the first month when we do a survey, we're out here trying to observe which burrows the guillemots are flying in, you know, potential
sure,
nest
which
sites.
Which ones are active?
And we identify, we have about 24 that we identified earlier in the summer, but you can't confirm that there's actually a nest in there with eggs or chicks until we see the guillemots bringing prey into the burrow.
You say prey, and what type of prey are you talking about that comes into the burrow?
Yes, we see a lot of these long, skinny, kind of squirmy fish called gunnels.
Okay.
There's another type of fish that looks more triangular called a sculpin. Some of our viewers might know those. And here this year, I've also seen a couple sand lances brought in to our burrows. So they get a pretty good diet. And it seems like early in the season, when the chicks are first hatched, it seems like the prey is a little bit smaller and it gets bigger and bigger, you know, as it goes on. I presume because the chicks are getting bigger and bigger and can eat bigger food. So it's really exciting.
Very much so. Which leads me to, will you share a memorable moment with these birds? And perhaps it would be this morning when you and I walked in here to do your survey and we saw about 8 birds and they were huddled underneath a log, which I'd never seen the guillemots do before, on the beach. So you might have shared that one or another one that's your favorite.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely special. There's actually many special moments out here because I was really surprised when I first volunteered how, well, just to give the listeners kind of a visual, we come out here with our little chairs and we sit very quietly on the edge of the water or close towards the water. And before too long, these guillemots will come up onto shore very close to you. And there was one time last year where I had that situation and they were still in courtship behavior. And there was a group of guillemots all on this wet sand and using those big red feet. They were like dancing around on the shore and you could hear like this flip, 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 flip on the, you know, their feet touching the sand. And it was just kind of fascinating. And they were going around each other. They were copulating. Yeah, that was a really special moment. I also love it when I'm sitting here, kind of like we are today, where we have a lot of activity on the bluff behind you. I'm sitting facing the water. The birds are in the burrows behind me, and they'll come shooting out so fast, like I said, and often fly right over your head, and it's their wing flaps can be so loud. You know, and it's just like, the sound of, you know, guillemots flying overhead.
And do you have any problem identifying them? I mean, identifying a guillemot from another seabird?
Not typically. Like I said, sometimes off in the distance, if the lighting is a little off, it's a little hard to tell. But they're pretty much the only little seabirds out here other than an occasional group of rhinoceros auklets.
Okay, thank
you for that.
But they
have different coloration too, so typically we can tell.
What happens when this survey ends? So when I've spoken to other people that do the surveys, they lament over the fact that this will end.
Oh yes, I know, I'll be devastated. Last year we got together after the survey ended, you know, just to commiserate, because it's always such a shock. You know, we're out here 1 week, see a lot of activity, and then you come out the next week and all of a sudden they're just all gone. It's like, oh my God, they've abandoned us. It's kind of jarring. You really get used to their presence, their noises. One of the things we didn't talk about, which I think is very descriptive of a guillemot, is their communication. They're constantly communicating with each other, and I'm trying to learn what all these different sounds mean. They do a variety of chips and trills, whistles, combinations of those. They're very talkative. Something we see a lot is something called a hunch whistle. And this can be on the water or on land where they're sitting and their heads are just thrown all the way back. Their beaks are open. And for the listeners, the inside of their mouths are bright red too, just like their feet. Bills are black, but the inside of the mouths are bright red. So that's got to mean something, how they often just open up that beak as wide as they can and whistle. And then we also see a lot of, especially early in the season, where two birds are facing each other. It's called a duet trill. And again, they have both of their beaks are open. They're very close to each other, and they're moving their beaks back and forth, almost touching and making a trill. You know, we see that a lot at all of our sites, too.
Thank you for that. And I wonder if that has to do with their communal nature. One of the first shows I did was on sandhill cranes, and they're very communal as well. They gather together on the Platte River, and I think sometimes when birds are communal in nature, they have to have a way to communicate, because as we look out on the water, you know, tell us what you're seeing and why they might need to communicate.
Yeah, we are seeing a group of, there's probably 15, 20 birds right here floating on the water together. They're in front of a part of the bluff that is very active with chick provisioning right now. So we've been seeing a lot of deliveries of these gunnels and whatnot. And it seems like they're communicating with each other about those efforts and with perhaps the guillemots in the burrows. And we're definitely doing a lot of talking today.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your comments and your talent. And also thank you for being a volunteer, because it's, you know, it's so important that we have volunteers to do this work. So thank you very much. I want to thank everybody for listening, and we hope you have enjoyed our program today about the pigeon guillemot and the people who are involved in citizen science in our community. They really do make a difference, and thank you all who joined today. I want to also thank Zeno Canto for some of the pigeon guillemot recordings. However, a lot of the recordings today are right here from the beach, of which you can hear right now this sort of loud whistle. And today's sound engineer and editor is Nora Petrich, and Nature Now podcasts are available on our KPTZ website. Thank you.
Cool.